All right, here we go. It took Shohei Ohtani more than 20 months to return to a major league mound and less than 20 minutes to exit one. Angels two-way star didn't record a single out in his 2020 pitching debut yesterday. Instead, he walked three batters, gave up three singles, charged with five earned runs with zero outs in a road game against the Oakland A's, raising concerns about his readiness as a starting pitcher. Now, John, he hit 18 homers with 62 RBIs last year, batting .286 with an .848 OPS, really good numbers. After his devastating meltdown, would you just keep Ohtani focused on hitting? And if he's just a hitter, is he disappointing as a major leaguer?
Well, he was trying to do something that no one has ever done before, and that is to be a star pitcher as well as a star hitter. Yep. I mean, you'd have to go back to Babe Ruth. So it was a very tall order. Most concerning, Mace, I don't think you mentioned, his fastest fastball was 94, and his average was 92. He was throwing over 100 miles an hour before he had Tommy John
surgery.
And
I think his big out pitch is a splitter, and he didn't throw it during his appearance yesterday.
I think I might just tell him to hit, or at least put him on the shelf for a while before you asked him to pitch again. I mean, he didn't get an out, not one out. 5 to 7 miles that's a big number in baseball. And as you mentioned, he didn't throw his favorite pitch. I'd be willing to give him another chance to pitch, but so I don't duck your question. If I had to pick one or the other, I would just tell him to be a hitter at this point.
Yeah. By the way, you know, something that's unfair a little bit of us media guys and us guys that didn't play baseball, is that, you know, you talk to a major leaguer, they will tell you it takes up to 3 years to feel like yourself after Tommy John surgery. And he's only at 20 months. So I would hold him to some sim games, let him try to gain his velocity back, try to help him to throw his splitter again, and give him another shot. But they should not trot him out there every Sunday if that's going to be the result.
All right, Mace, the Seattle Seahawks have become the latest team to give up two first-round picks for a marquee player. On Saturday, they acquired Jamal Adams from the Jets in exchange for two first-rounders and a third, but they got a fourth back, so this is really Adams for two first-rounders. Now, the Raiders got two first-rounders when they traded Khalil Mack. The Dolphins got two when they traded Laremy Tunsil. And closer to home, the Rams gave up two to the Jaguars when they acquired Jalen Ramsey. In general, what would you rather have, the star or the two first-round picks?
Boy, it so depends on the player, right? So Jalen
Ramsey.
Any
of those guys, Khalil Mack, Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams.
All elite at their positions. And in those cases, I would say go for it, but recognize the price. The Rams first round haven't had a first round draft pick, I think, since they've
Jared Goff
been in LA.
No, they took Goff.
They took Goff, and that was it. All the rest of their number ones have been gone ever since. So there is a price to be paid. They could use those number one picks now, especially since some of those pieces have fallen away. Dante Fowler's gone, all that kind of stuff. So there's a price, but I would trade two first rounders for any of those players.
I would too, and here's another way to think of it. I mean, I've been reading some analysis of people saying the Seahawks screwed this up. They shouldn't have done it. The Seahawks, on average, in the Pete Carroll, John Schneider era, draft around 23rd or 24th.
Right.
So it's almost a second-round pick by the time they draft. They haven't really been able to nail the draft at that spot. That you remember, they got Russell Wilson in the third round.
Third round, right.
But their first-round picks have not been great. And so if you just study their own history, the 23rd or 24th pick, and they're like 0-6 or 0-7, Jamal Adams is way better than anybody that on average they've been getting at that spot.
Right.
So I think that the Seahawks are on the right side of this trade. You know, I thought the Bears were on the right side of the Raider trade. I was really mad as a Raider fan that they traded Khalil Mack. Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey are both impact players. I'm with you on this. I'd rather have the player than the picks, especially if you're a team like Seattle that always picks at the end of the first round.
Right.
There's
right.
a big difference between Seattle and, you know, like the Raiders were drafted in the top 10 this year.
Yeah.
It just seems I'd rather have the player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're in go for it mode at that point. The Rams are yep. in go for it mode. They're moving first round picks. Clearly Seattle thinks this is a player that can impact the defense and sort of recapture the magic of that defense in years past. So it's worth doing, but there is a price to be paid down the line. All right, I'm going to save that one and say this. A prominent sports agent slammed NFL legend Mike Ditka on social media yesterday after the former Bears coach said players who don't stand for the national anthem should leave the U.S. Ditka told TMZ, quote, "If you can't respect our national anthem, get the hell out of the country. That's the way I feel. Of course, I'm old-fashioned, so I'm only going to say what I feel." David Mulugeta, who is the president of Athletes First, which represents Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure he would pronounce his name correctly. Derwin James, Earl Thomas, among others he represents. He says Ditka's comments, quote, "This doesn't surprise me at all. Mike Ditka traded his helmet in for a white hood as soon as he retired from football. Racism hiding behind faux patriotism is still racism." Is what that agent said about Mike Ditka acceptable?
I think he went too far. I think he started accusing people of wearing white hoods. There's a big difference between that and what Mike Ditka said. Now, about what Ditka said, I don't know. We keep explaining this to people, and it's not getting through. The protests have nothing to do with the flag or with patriotism. It just doesn't. They're not disrespecting the country. They're trying to shed light on a bigger, more important point. Mike obviously doesn't see that. I wish he wouldn't have said it. Ditka used to come on our show all the time. Remember, he used to come on once a week.
Sure.
He was really good with us. Yet, having said that, I think that to take the spirit of your question, the agent came off worse in that story than Ditka did, I thought. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Ditka, I chalk it up to being an old guy. You know, there are a bunch of these old guys who have fallen into this. I'm old fat. You know, it's Ditka. It's Lou Holtz. There's a bunch of guys like this. Bobby Knight, a bunch of these old coaches who, like, you just have to chalk it up to, well, they're just old guys. The agent, I think, once you reference a white hood, I think you lose the argument. That is extreme and unfair. I do believe he's hiding behind faux patriotism, and maybe there is some racial bias there, but I'm not ready to say he should trade in his helmet for a white hood. That's going way too far.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mace, sports radio in Boston, not surprisingly, is all over the Dodgers signing of Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
The callers don't think the Dodgers overpaid. They can't understand why Betts isn't coming back to Boston, where he was a homegrown star player. The strangest thing is one of the people who's voicing this opinion is Tom Werner, the chairman
oh, wow.
of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
He was on WEEI, which is a sports radio station, the other day, and he said this, quote, "When people are partying in L.A., I just want to remind Los Angeles that in the last 20 years, L.A. has won zero World Series, and the Red Sox have won four. I've got nothing to be complaining about regarding our past." In other words, he thinks that in the end, the Red Sox will come out on the right side of this because they've figured out a way to win four World Series, and the Dodgers, for whatever they've done, have won zero. Does Werner have a point?
You know, I don't know why he's trolling Los Angeles, which is essentially what he's doing. I mean, I don't think what Tom, you know, a lot of this falls into the category of, I'm angry that guy's not coming here, so I'm going to.
Yeah, there's a little Dan Gilbert.
There's a lot of Dan Gilbert in this thing. And the other thing I would point out, if our histories are important, Tom Werner was the owner of the San Diego Padres and absolutely destroyed that franchise. He was not a good owner at that point in his career. So he has been a bad owner in his lifetime. So, yeah, I think he's trolling us. I think there's a lot of Dan Gilbert there. He should be reminded that he sucked as an owner.
All right, are we done?
Let's do one more. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, gigantic news. On Sunday, yesterday, John Ireland interviewed me for about an hour.
When does that post?
It has gone online.
Oh, it's
even
up.
While we're speaking.
Okay.
John interviewed me, and we got very, very personal, stuff that has never been said on the air, stuff that is completely new to you. We did it the other way around. I interviewed Ireland a few months back. Now Ireland is interviewing me. We go deep. We go personal. You can get it at stevemason.com. Click the subscribe button either on iTunes or on Spotify. It is great. It is great.
I would venture to say it is the most candid we have ever been about anything, and that includes when you interviewed me. Would you agree?
I completely agree. There's stuff in there that I'm surprised that I said.
I was afraid to ask you, but I asked everything on my list, and you answered all of it.
Yep.
So if you're a fan of the show, that is must listen at stevemason.com.
Yeah, go do that after the show. Go do that after the show.
Yes, we need the ratings after the show.
Coming up next for you, a guy who was the part-time play-by-play guy for today's Wizards-Lakers scrimmage. And, of course, Lakers sideline reporter. He knows more about the Lakers than just about anybody. Mike Trudell is going to join us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's up? It's Monday. It is a good week. There are sports happening all over the place. The Lakers played a scrimmage against Orlando Saturday in Orlando. That game was heard right here on 710 ESPN with John Ireland and Michael Thompson. Then the Lakers scrimmaged this afternoon against the Washington Wizards down in Orlando. And our next guest ended up doing a little play-by-play.
All right, so it was weird. Today the Lakers played a scrimmage in Orlando inside the bubble. It was their final scrimmage before the game's count on Thursday. And Spectrum Sportsnet did the game. LeBron didn't play. Anthony Davis didn't play. No Kyle Kuzma. No Dwight Howard. So Bill McDonald did the play-by-play. Michael Thompson, my regular partner, sat in for Stu Lance. Condolences to Stu, by the way. His sister passed away this week. They were very close. So yeah. Stu's taking some time. We expect Stu will be back on Thursday. And as always, Mike Trudell did the sideline reports. And then halfway through this game, Billy and Michael lost their TV feed. And Mike then basically wore all three hats. He did play-by-play, color, and sidelines because he was the only one who could see.
Very impressive.
And now, even after doing triple duty, he's nice enough to join us. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
I'm doing well. Miss you guys. You know, it's been a while since any of us, of course, got to see each other in person. I did get to see Billy and Michael at a social distance, of course, with our masks on at Spectrum today. So that was fun. And as you mentioned, John, all of our thoughts mostly just with Stu. And, you know, thinking about his loss and it just, you know, look, unfortunately, so many people have been losing folks to all different kinds of things lately. But yeah. That's where our hearts were at today.
So Mike, I've never asked you this. Do you aspire to be a play-by-play guy? Because I thought you were really good.
Oh, thanks, mate. Look, today was really just a hybrid. Like John mentioned, I was trying to do basically just make sure that since it was a TV broadcast, right, I didn't have to call it in the type of detail that John does so well on radio, yeah. And it was more just kind of trying to bring Michael and Billy in. And they literally could not see anything. So I was more than anything else just trying to make sure that they knew what was going on here, there, and everywhere. But Mace, that's always a part of the deal. I did get to do some South Bay games, and the couple times that John was out this year, I got to do a couple games. But it's just one of those things that you try to have in your box that you can go to when needed. But for the most part, I just focus on doing the sideline and making sure that to add the little snippets I can here and there in the broadcast.
All right, Mike, let's talk about the game. I thought, and I did the game where they played against Orlando on Saturday morning. I man, I love the way Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith have looked, but I don't know how much stock to put in it because, as I mentioned today, a lot of stars for both sides were out. No Bradley Beal, no John Wall, no Dwight Howard, no LeBron. How much stock can I put in the fact that J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters have looked really, really good when they've been out there?
No, I think you can put some legit stock into it, John, because they're, even though like the Wizards are a little bit different because they have so many young guys, it's basically a summer league team, but they physically have looked good. And for Waiters, what you want to see, can he create plays off the dribble? Can he get to the rim? And can he get his own shot? And that question, or those three questions, have definitely been answered as an affirmative. And then J.R. Smith, how does he look physically? Is the shot still looking smooth and good? And can he defend? And I would say that you've gotten yeses on all those things as well. So the good thing for Frank Vogel here now is I would put them in the same category as Jared Dudley, as Quinn Cook. They're not going to be necessarily part of the regular 8, 9, and maybe even 10-man rotation that are going to be called upon when things get shortened in the playoffs. But you can go to them in spots when you need a certain thing. And Waiters, particularly for me, John, the one thing that the Lakers didn't have off the bench this season was a guy who could come in from the backcourt perspective, because, of course, they do have Kuz, and if AD is playing with that unit, they can create their own shot.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a backup guard that could come in and just get you a bucket. That's not Rondo's thing. That's not even really what Caruso specializes in. So, to me, that's big in a playoff setting, John and Steve, to be able to call Waiters his number and say, hey, just go get us a bucket. It's tough to get shots. Create your own shot and get us a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying stock in Deion Waiters after watching Saturday and today because, you know, they struggled. I mean, in all honesty, the Lakers have struggled without LeBron on the floor this year, which makes perfect sense, of course. But they haven't had that guy who can create his own shot. They haven't had that guy who can create off the dribble. And I think we're going to see – I mean, don't you think Deion Waiters cracks the main rotation for this team?
Well, he's certainly making a case for it, and I think that that'll play out over these next 8 seeding games, Mace, because let's be honest, the Lakers really don't have to win, many, if at all. I've said this before, but like, let's say the Clippers went 8-0, which they won't, as the 2 seed. The Lakers could still get the 1 seed by just winning 3 games. You know, more likely than not, the Clippers will, you know, who knows, maybe they'll go 6-2. If that's the case, the Lakers have to win 1 game. So it's like they need to just figure out what those rotations might be. And the only reason why I'd say he wouldn't necessarily be a regular part is if you're thinking about an 8-man rotation, like in a real high leverage playoff game, because you want LeBron and AD playing close to 40 minutes in those types of games. Then you've got Caruso, Kuzma, and Dwight, to me, are the first 3 guys off the bench. But I would say that Deion Waiters, Mace, is in the mix for that next grouping after that. And so I do think he'll get minutes. It's just how many is he going to get versus J.R. Smith if they're looking just for shooting, versus Quinn Cook if they're looking for some floor spacing, versus Markieff Morris, right, who I think is going to be part of that rotation too. And like that, those questions will be there, but he definitely has shown, I think, already that he can be called upon if Vogel needs him.
I completely agree with you, Mike. I think these 8 seeding games are going to be an audition for Waiters, I think, and for J.R. And to get those minutes. I think that's you put it exactly the right way. Mike, on Saturday, when Michael and I did the game, Anthony Davis almost had a double-double in 1 quarter. I think he had 12 points and 9 rebounds in 1 quarter. Then he got poked in the eye. The eye did not look great as he was sitting on the bench. It looked like a guy who had been, you know, in a boxing match. He did not play today. Is the eye, Anthony Davis's eye, something or nothing moving forward?
I don't think it's anything. All we know for sure, Frank Vogel, is what Frank Vogel said before the game, and that's that he probably would have held him out even if he wasn't going to rest him, just to give him a couple extra days with the eye. But it seems like he's okay. And like, so the good sign to me was when he came out and watched the second half from the bench, and that was on Saturday. So, you know, if it was something that was real serious with an eye, you think you probably, take that and you escalate it and you have him go see some doctors and stuff like that. So I took that as a good sign. And to me, that if this had been a playoff game today, you would have seen LeBron, you would have seen AD, you would have seen Kuz, you would have seen Dwight, right? Like, they're all ready to go, I believe, for the seeding games.
Mike Trudell is with us from the Lakers, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So, how do you feel about lemon pepper wings? Lemon pepper wings. Is that your flavor?
Yeah, I was always just like the hottest sauce that I could get. I like the maybe like one level below the extreme, so like a Carolina Reaper or something like that in the hot
yep.
ones. I do like that. Lemon pepper, not bad though. You know, I'll go there. Like I like them from Wingstop. I've had them there before.
Yeah,
Mike, just for your sake, keep going to Wingstop. That's as far as you need to go to get lemon pepper wings. But, hey, most important.
Michael made that clear in the broadcast. Did you hear that, John, in the first quarter?
What did he say?
He just basically said, look, if you're going to go get wings, I would recommend Wingstop as opposed to Magic City.
Yeah. Michael went right for Magic City 5 minutes into the game.
So I uncovered this weird fact about lemon pepper wings. Are you ready? The guy from Sacramento, is it Rashawn Holmes?
Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah. He ordered something from Postmates and stepped out of the bubble and got in trouble. You know what he ordered? Lemon pepper wings.
Oh, so it's a thing. It's a
Dame
it's
Lillard had his birthday party inside the bubble. What was the main course? Lemon pepper wings. And then Lou Williams has his own brand of lemon pepper wings at Magic City in Atlanta. Mike, what do you think the repercussions are of what Lou Williams did in going out while he was out on personal reasons?
Well, the repercussions seem to have already been decided by the NBA, right, which is the 10-day quarantine. I believe that's what has been reported. And I would just say generally, I don't care who the player is, this bubble has worked out great so far. And I think we're all kind of knocking on wood, holding our breaths, right? There's so much that's been put into this, not just financially, but just for people in the NBA, people that like to watch the NBA. And you would just hate to see anybody put that at risk for some individual reason, that would go beyond what the scope is of an excused absence from the bubble. So don't care who the player is. You just really hope that everybody adheres to that in a strict way. And like there have been guys that have gone the complete opposite way, like Alex Caruso skipped his sister's wedding just to ensure that he didn't go and potentially bring anything back that would endanger his teammates and or the league. So that to me is something that I really commend greatly. And it's like taking that self-sacrifice for the greater good.
All right, Mike, last thing and most importantly, for people who don't know, Mike has twin boys and boy number three is on the way, due any day now. How is Annie doing, and when is the due date?
Yeah, so the due date is basically 2 weeks from today. And
okay. So
we're, you know, we thought we had brilliantly planned this for the NBA offseason. And, you know, but I'm not going to complain. Look, a lot of other people have been put in far worse circumstances because of this virus, man. So I'm happy that everything's been good so far with her. And the baby and the doctors, and we figured we're on the Michael Thompson plan. He's got the three boys. I don't have quite the genetics that he does in terms of producing three professional athletes.
You don't know
like
yet.
Yeah, who knows?
But look, they're pretty good. They're pretty good so far. So we're excited. We're thinking about why not just inject additional craziness into this household and bring another testosterone laden boy who never sleeps.
Fantastic. Well, glad you're doing well, Mike. You sounded great today. We appreciate you coming on, and looking forward to getting the season started on Thursday. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Good to hear your voices. Say hello to everybody there. And Funchy, what's up, buddy? See ya.
Mace, I have an update on your lemon pepper wings.
Oh.
Our old friend Kelvin Washington.
Yes.
Has texted me.
Yeah.
I'll just read it verbatim.
Okay.
Black folks love lemon pepper wings. Rick Ross owns a bunch of wing stops and raps about them. So, maybe we got to try them. Maybe we're a little bit, maybe we're a little behind the times.
Well, I put out a poll, of course, a wing poll, in honor of Lou Williams, pick your favorite wings. Buffalo, lemon pepper, barbecue, garlic, parmesan. John, what do you think the winner is?
Well, your poll is going to skew primarily white.
Are we really going to accept that lemon pepper wings are something that...
I'm just going with what Kelvin told me.
Okay.
What were the other two choices?
Lemon pepper barbecue and garlic parmesan.
Barbecue!
Barbecue!
That's what I think is in first place on your poll, on the Steve Mason poll.
Is running third with 14%.
Oh, wow. So lemon pepper was winning it?
No. Buffalo is winning it.
Oh, wow.
Of course Buffalo is winning. Who doesn't love buffalo wings? Do you dredge up that blue cheese with the buffalo wing? I'm all about that, man. The little drumstick one. Not the one with all the bones. You know what I'm talking about? The little drumstick part of the wing and not the other part with all the bones
flat
that you have to eat around?
Yeah, the flat.
One day, Adam, was it Wingstop that brought in wings for the whole station one day?
Yes, it was. Proud sponsor of the Lakers.
Yeah, and man, were they good. They brought in like 10 boxes of wings, and I didn't eat for 2 days. It was great.
Yep. Well, Buffalo leads, lemon pepper is second. So there's definitely a lemon pepper contingency out there.
The poll is young.
Poll is young.
Yes.
No, and actually,
by the way,
we've got over 1,500 votes.
Coming up later this – well, but still, it's like you just put it up, right? You put it up during this show?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did.
Coming up later this hour, Radio Tinder, right?
Yep, Radio Tinder's coming up. And coming back next, the big story of day, trouble with Major League Baseball and a coronavirus outbreak, which could derail the season. I don't think so. John doesn't think so. I think we got a long way to go, but we'll get into that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so the major story of the day, an outbreak of COVID-19 has spread through the Miami Marlins clubhouse, bringing the total cases in recent days to at least 13, 11 players and two coaches. The Marlins postponed their home opener, scheduled for tonight. The game between the Yankees and the Phillies in Philadelphia has also been postponed. That's where the Marlins played over the weekend. So here's where we talk about contact tracing, which people talk about on TV all the time, Dr. Fauci and all those people. If the Marlins have an outbreak, 13 people, then if you contact trace, that's everybody else on the team, everybody part of their support staff, all of their families, and then all the players from Philly who they played over the weekend.
Now, you had a quote from an epidemiologist earlier that said, in a perfect world, you would take all the Marlins off out of the playing rotation for 10 to 14 days and all the Phillies. You'd do both of them.
Yes.
We had Jeff Passan on earlier in the show, and Jeff said that doesn't appear to be the way they're heading. As a matter of fact, he said that those the players that all tested positive, players and staff, are going to stay in Philadelphia, the Marlins players and staff, until they get two negative tests in a row, and then they can move on. But the rest of the players, he thought, could be on their way to Baltimore to play a game Wednesday night in Baltimore, and it didn't sound like the Phillies were getting taken out at all. Now, having said that, they are going to keep testing these guys every day. But, Mace, this is a critical week for sports because, as you put earlier in the show, if somebody was to get really, really sick, that could derail the whole season. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could.
Could it derail all the seasons?
No, because the NBA and the NHL haven't had any positive tests. But they're in a bubble.
They're in a bubble.
This is the better comp here is football, because football's not going to play in a bubble. They're talking about doing what baseball's doing, and that is going from city to city, albeit a reduced travel schedule. Most teams are going to – college football, they're talking about playing in conference, pro football, a little more advanced. They're going to try and play a regular schedule. But – football and baseball are similar in that they're not in a bubble. Hockey
right.
and basketball are. Soccer has kind of gone pretty well.
Yeah, no, soccer's done good. They lost a couple of teams, but they did pretty well. By the way, I think LAFC plays Seattle tonight in a knockout game. Here's Don Mattingly talking about, after yesterday's game, talking about the frustration with the positive tests and the way his players are feeling.
Well, I mean, they can obviously refuse not to play, right? When you don't want to. I guess everybody could opt out today. But, again, you know, I think we're going, you know, getting down the road. But I think there are discussions. I think it's fair to say that guys are concerned, right, about things. And that they want their feelings as part of how they're feeling about it, situations, to be heard. And I think it's fair. We're talking about health. We're talking about these guys traveling back to their homes and their families and their kids and it's the reason we want to be safe. So, you know, they got a voice and they get a voice, and we're definitely going to listen and to what's going on with them.
I never considered that a team could all opt out.
Right.
I don't think that's happening, but boy, I didn't think about that. Like, and that's where the David Price tweet makes a little more sense, is that maybe he's trying to get people to come over to his side.
So here's what David Price tweeted, just as a reminder. No, now we really get to see if MLB is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount? Part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed. He's, you know... Are they putting players' health for? I mean, there's an outbreak. Basically, they're saying, "Hey, we got 30 extra guys on a taxi squad. We can always fill in." Is that putting players' health first? Just take out of. Hey, we want to see the games. We're excited about baseball. Dodgers split a series with the Giants. All that stuff. But are they really taking players' safety seriously?
As long as all of the people who tested positive are asymptomatic, yes. But if someone gets sick, no. If someone gets very sick, or what we've taken to call Freddie Freeman sick, then putting replacement players in for him and putting their health at risk is a bad look.
Right.
But if everybody's asymptomatic, you know, there have been many, many NBA players who tested positive and are now in the bubble and doing fine.
Yeah.
Ivica Zubac admitted today that he had it.
I think Landry Shamet was also had the virus at one point, and he's back in the bubble.
I watched Russell Westbrook play a game over the weekend, and he looked fantastic.
Yeah.
So I mean, it to answer your question, if you're taking players, letting them get really sick, and then just bringing replacement players in, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But if these guys are asymptomatic and they feel fine, and you're just telling them to stay away to keep the virus from spreading, then I think you're fine.
All right, coming up next, well, I'll tell you, at 5 o'clock, Pedro Moore is going to join us from The Athletic. We'll dig into this story a little bit
Dodgers,
more.
He's covering the Dodgers,
right? Yeah, he's covering the Dodgers. Okay. Plus, we've got Radio Tinder coming up next. Funch, are you ready?
I'm always ready.
All right, except when we play a game. It's a struggle. So Funch has got Radio Tinder for us next.
What are you talking about? He's the defending, he's the reigning Game of Games champion.
You're right.
That's right.
Did win on
Friday.
Did win on Friday. Can't take that away from him. Radio Tinder's next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, it is time for Radio Tinder, and joining us right now is Michael Funch. Lindsay, by the way, will be back on Thursday. In the meantime, we've got Funch, who is filling in very admirably. And Funch, what do you got?
All right, guys, the Chainsmokers are getting a lot of flack for putting on a drive-in concert over the weekend during a pandemic for very, very rich people in the
right,
Hamptons.
Right, it was in the Hamptons, right?
Yeah, so the Grammy Award-winning band held a concert for charity where tickets were from anywhere from $900 to $25,000. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I mean, I suggested this a while back. I think that this is the future of concerts, at least for now. They're going to be very exclusive. There's going to be social distancing. Not a lot of people are going to get out of their cars necessarily to see them. But I think that concerts are going to become property of the very, very wealthy who can afford the few tickets that are being offered.
Well, Funch, I don't understand what they're being criticized
for.
Well,
I mean, if you Google the concert and pictures and videos, like, people are not socially distanced
at all. Oh, they're not socially distanced?
No, not at all. No. Oh, they're not wearing masks. They're not. It's like a regular concert.
I'd like to change my position. That is bogus BS, and they should not be doing it.
You guys, all the money is going to charity, correct?
Yeah. But if you guys watch any videos or saw any pictures, like, you guys would think it's a concert from 2019.
Interesting. So the chain smokers are being criticized, not the fans. Not the concert goers.
Well, I think the chain smokers are being criticized for the fact that they put on a concert like this, and there wasn't a lot of, like, you know,
planning ahead,
and hey, you know, not a lot of socially distanced people.
That's a really good question, Mace. Does the band deserve criticism in that scenario?
Well,
I mean, they're raising a lot of money for charity, and the idiots who show up aren't wearing masks and aren't social distancing.
Yeah, it's probably just not a safe thing to do. I guess it's okay to criticize the band. I mean, their heart was in the right place. They were raising money for charity. But unfortunately, even in some of the smartest, richest areas of the country, like the Hamptons, people don't follow the rules. I don't get it. I don't understand why we can't all just stick that thing on your face.
There's a million other ways to raise money for charity instead of having a real concert.
Yeah, boy, Funch, you are on a tirade against the chain smokers right now. You just have it against
them. Well, I saw the videos and the pictures, and, like, people are not socially distanced. It's like a concert from 2019. People are going to catch COVID there. Trust me.
Okay.
All right, guys, next one. Another rapper will be getting the biopic treatment, and this has the potential to be the biggest one yet. The film will be called To the Extreme, and it will be about the trials and tribulations of 90s rapper and possibly the greatest one-hit wonder ever, Vanilla Ice. Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't think it'll work. Swipe left. I don't think Vanilla Ice is a big enough name to carry a biopic.
Swipe right. I mean, I'm interested to see how they structure a biopic around a guy like Vanilla Ice, who, you know, I'm sure ended up, you know, the answer to a trivia question for all intents and purposes, but had one of the biggest songs, would you say?
It's the greatest one-hit wonder ever, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Ice Ice Baby was, like, a gigantic song. Yeah, I mean, it depends who plays them. It depends how they structure the story. I think it can work.
Well, here it goes. Now, according to Variety, Dave Franco will get the big role of Rob Van Winkle.
Dave Franco might be good.
He's really good.
Yeah, Dave Franco. I just don't know if I'd be that interested. I mean, it just reeks of wait for it to come out on HBO.
Who's the director? Did they say Funch?
No, not yet.
Okay, of course, Mace, nowadays it may go straight to Netflix.
Totally could. Could go straight to on demand. Could go straight to iTunes, Netflix, Prime. Yeah.
By the way, what's the answer to the question Funch has just posed? What is the greatest one-hit wonder ever? What popped into my head was Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine.
God, that's a great record.
Come on, Eileen.
Mine is Come on, Eileen. Dexy's Midnight Runners.
All right, I think I got one that beats it, but it's kind of outdated. Don McLean, American Pie.
No, Don McLean.
That was
had
a one-hit wonder,
John. No, he had other.
He had
songs.
Other hits.
Yeah, he had other songs. He did a great song called Vincent about Vincent Van Gogh. He had other records.
What about Right Said Fred?
Right Said Fred is a good
sexy.
One.
Yeah, that is a good one.
What about Soft Cell?
Oh, Painted Love. That's a really good one. Did Tone Loc have more than one hit?
Let's see. Wild Thing and Funky Cole Medina.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He had two. Yeah. All right, what else you got?
All right, now we know of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Now Disney might... Now we remember the story of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, how Disney owned them, and they named them after the hit movie with Emilio Estevez.
Now
the Washington football team could do the same after a Reddit user discovered that one of the names that they had trademarked was the Washington Sentinels. Now, if you remember the replacement starring Keanu Reeves, which is a cult classic, about a bunch of nutty replacement players playing in a season where there was a strike, this could be the new Washington football team nickname, the Washington Sentinels. What do you guys think? Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't love it.
I think that same Reddit guy said they were going to start going by the DC Sentinels.
Yeah.
Instead of the Washington Sentinels. I mean, I think it sounds okay. I mean, I think Red Tails was a great nickname.
Yeah, except think of the double entendre with all the sexual
harassment. Do you guys even remember
stuff.
The movie, The Replacements?
I do.
Oh, sure.
Love yeah, that I remember movie. That movie. There was a girl from Melrose Place that was the female lead in that movie. I'm trying to remember. Brooke somebody. But the Sentinels, yeah, I think they could do better.
I mean, it's okay if they go by DC Sentinel. I think it's weird, by the way, that they're going by Washington football team.
Yeah,
everybody
thinks it's weird.
That's just the weirdest thing.
I think they should be the Washington Football Club so they can go DCFC.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think it's a terrible idea to not have a nickname at all. I think you're right.
I kind of like the Washington football team.
Keep the colors and say Washington football team. And
did you guys see how they were going to do the uniforms for next year, too, with the Washington football team?
Yeah, I liked them. I liked them a lot. I saw the pictures. Yeah, they're saying they're keeping burgundy and gold, and they just have the number of each player on the helmet. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm for Washington football team. I don't think it'll work, but I don't think that's what they're going to go with. But I like Washington football team.
All right, punch that in, or you got
that's
one
it.
More?
That's all I got, guys.
Okay,
that's all you got. Okay, that's all you got.
Yeah.
Is that all you got, Funch?
I mean, I have a couple more, but I mean,
wow,
we're going to save them for tomorrow.
Funch. No, save them. Save them. We got so much going on today.
He's saving it for Funch Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Pedro Moore coming up next?
Yes, he is.
By the way, I want to point out that I made a 3-team baseball parlay for $1,000 on Friday. I won on Dodgers, Padres, and Astros. So that is $6,000 is the payoff there. Mythical money.
Well done.
Getting ready for football season when we do most of our betting in football.
Pay that man his money.
Pay him. Pay that man his money. All right, coming up next for you, Pedro Mora, who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic, will join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.